The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and f**ks are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault.
Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. Tonight's feature presentation is the 1998 Hong Kong Biozombie.
Hong Kong is not in the title.
It's not in the title.
Biozombie is a
Hong Kong film.
Made in Hong Kong.
Right. I'm going to do the 6-minute synopsis this week, and yeah,
that's gonna suck.
It's gonna suck. The 6-minute synopsis is where we take 6 minutes to summarize the movie. We'll then take a quick break and come back with the evening's with our first choice of beverage, and then we'll talk about the film for a little bit, and finally we're gonna wrap everything up with our 6-pack rating. And this is where we let you know just how drunk you need to be to enjoy this film.
Are we gonna get
exactly? Oh, that's sad. And we can't talk about Pat Daly here. Okay, that's another podcast. So tonight, my hosts, as always, Dave.
Hello.
Hey, Kathleen.
Hi.
Troy.
Hello.
All right, we are all here. My name is Pete, and I guess I'm doing the 6-minute synopsis, so if we just want to jump right into it.
Timer's ready.
Time is ready. Oh, God. Okay,
I feel like you need to video you doing this, because I want to see like the angry Pete fists in the air.
God damn it! I'm pretty sure this is going to go a little long, because there's a lot of dumb shit that happens in this movie.
In every movie we watch.
And it was so hard to cut shit out, so.
It couldn't be any longer than Troy's for, what was it, Swarm? Or no, I did Swarm.
You did Swarm.
Ugh. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mine was Ski School.
Yeah, you went 8 minutes or something like that?
Oh, yeah, it was like,
well, that wasn't
like 20
your
minutes.
Fault. I had time to prep, and I still went. Anyway. Okay, so I suppose I'm ready. Are you ready?
Whenever you're ready. Go.
Woody, Invincible, and Crazy Bee are mall rat punks that work at a bootleg VCD store. They spend their days trying to intimidate mall employees and patrons alike by screaming at them for no other reason than to sound tough. We catch up to Woody and Crazy as they head to open up the store. In the meantime, over at the food stand, we are introduced to sushi chef Loy and two beauty parlor employees, Rolls and Jelly. Loy has the googly eyes for Rolls as he tells her he has a present he would like to give her after his shift. Loy is not Rolls' kind of man, but will take the gift anyway and agrees to meet up later. On their way back to the beauty parlor, Jelly and Rolls run into Woody and Crazy, and the four of them exchange some stupid dialogue that has little to do with the film other than to introduce the four main characters to each other. Woody and Crazy finally arrive at the VCD shop, and they are met by a customer who isn't happy about the quality of his bootleg film. Woody and Crazy proceed to scream at him for returning the video. Finally, Woody says he's in a good mood and tells the customer to pick out two pornos for his trouble and to get the hell out. Woody may not be a good person, but in that gesture, he has proven that even a punk douche canoe can learn the importance of excellent customer service. The boss of the VCD store, whom we never actually see, calls and tells Woody and Crazy to get his car that's waiting at the body shop down the street. Without batting an eye, they close the shop and go get it. We cut to an undisclosed warehouse where the Chinese government is making a deal with Iraqi biochemists for a serum that will turn people into zombies, which, by the way, is being transported in soda bottles, or as I call them, Zoda bottles. The biochemists have brought along a zombie as an example of what the Zoda Pop can do. This, of course, backfires. The zombie breaks free and starts eating bad guys. One of the arms dealers is able to escape with a bottle of the Zoda and stumbles to the freeway and is immediately hit by Woody and Crazy driving their boss's car back to the mall. The boys get out to help the guy, who moans and tries to warn them about the Zoda, but they think he's asking for a drink and pour the deadly Zoda down the terrorist's throat and then toss him into the trunk and head back to the mall to find help. Woody parks the car in the garage by crashing it into the wall. The two slackers realize that they're going to need some cash to fix the car, while they're yelling at each other, the zombie, unseen, escapes the trunk. Woody and Crazy don't have any cash, so they decide to mug Rolls in the ladies' room. They successfully assault her, but get away with next to nothing since Rolls is also a broke slacker. After the assault, Rolls asks Woody to help her find the assailants, but since he's a grade-A jackass, he refuses to help unless she pays for dinner first. She does agree, and after picking up Jelly and Crazy, it's off to the sushi shop. We now see ourselves in the parking lot as we finally get our first kill when a security guard is attacked by the escaped zombie. Back at the sushi shop, the group is getting drunk, and Rolls excuses herself to use the toilet. Woody, the lech he is, follows her into the women's room and starts getting rapey, where Rolls counters his sexual assault by barfing on him. Sushi chef Loy notices that they've been gone for a while and goes to investigate. For some reason, Rolls is now okay with Woody's advances, and Loy can hear them making out in the john. Loy is heartbroken and goes to the men's room next door to have a good cry when he's attacked and bitten by a zombie. Loy is able to get away and runs to the women's room to ask for help because he says there's a monster in the men's room. After Woody yells at Loy for cock-blocking, they all go to investigate the men's room but find nothing. Rolls takes Loy back to the beauty parlor and bandages him up and then runs to go get some aspirin. At this time, Loy starts to turn into a zombie and attacks one of the other co-workers and starts eating her face. looks like he's licking her face, but whatever. Rolls gets back in time to see Loy going down on his victim and passes out from shock. In another part of the mall, a pair of cops show up to investigate the assault on Rolls and fingers Woody and Crazy as the perpetrators. While Woody and Crazy are being detained, one of the cops does a sweep around the mall, ends up at the sushi shop where he is attacked by Loy. Before Loy can finish the cop off, he hears Rolls sneaking away. Loy looks at her as she tries to escape with a sad, pimply zombie face, as if to ask her for forgiveness for what he has become. In the meantime, zombies attack and kill the other cop, allowing Woody and Crazy to escape the mall detention room. They run into Cooey, the cell phone shop owners, Jelly, and Roll. they all realize that they got to get out of here because there's zombies in the mall. Right now, it starts to get really messed up. At this point in the film, more or less, it devolves into a zombie chase movie as our heroes try to stay alive. We are treated to an unexpected but hilarious cutscene.
1 minute.
Where each of our six heroes gets a video game profile screen telling the viewer the character's name, weapon, power, sex drive, zodiac sign, and idol. In the end, all but Woody and Rolls survive. They speed away in the boss's car as the radio announces that a zombie apocalypse has begun. Rolls is thirsty, and it so happens that there's one last soda pop left in the car, and she takes a refreshing drink. Roll credits. I had 30 seconds?
You had 30 seconds. Ugh. Except you said all but
Woody and Rolls
survive, but it's all but Woody and Rolls die.
Right.
Whoops.
The opposite of survive.
It's the opposite of survive.
All but
And you
Woody,
also said...
Oh, I have it written down as that. Yeah. All but Woody and Rolls survive. Whoops.
You also said, like, in 2 seconds, you're like, that the sushi chef goes down on his victim, and then before the cops could finger Woody, and I was like, oh my God, I can't stop. I have to be quiet while you go.
Troy are looking at each other. I'm making lewd gestures with my hands.
Troy's getting quite filthy over here.
So. So there's your 6 minute synopsis. It sucked. So, this movie is so batshit crazy. So much stuff happens in this movie. There's nothing to focus on. It was whatever. It is what it is. It's over. Thank God. Yes. I need a beer. I don't know about you guys, but I need a beer.
Yes.
Yes, I could use.
I have some themed beers tonight for this particular movie. So without further ado, let's retire to the fridge and go grab a beer.
Yay!
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Beer me.
Yes.
Yes, beer.
Dave,
I have the beers.
Dave,
I have the beers.
Dave, you're in charge of the beers.
Okay, give me a second.
That was a good one.
It was good. Not too loud, I hope, not, Jen.
Yeah, okay.
Full disclosure, I was kind of hoping to fart at the same time because I forgot to go when we were getting this beer.
Awesome.
And
super appreciative that you didn't, thanks.
Well, I started to kind of almost squeeze it out and then realized, like, nope, this isn't going to be a talker. So I decided against it.
Oh
God.
Or you could shart a little bit. Who knows?
Ah.
Uh-huh. All right. So in honor of our biozombie film, we are testing out two delicious brews from the, I almost said the Pink Floyd Brewery, from the Three Floyds Brewery in out in Indiana. It's up in the Chicagoland area. Where the hell is it?
The Not Muncie.
Not Muncie.
Munster.
Munster.
That's right.
It's in Muster, Indiana. Yeah. Mustard, Indiana.
All right.
No, I'm wrong.
So what is it?
Three Floyds Brew. This is Zombie Dust.
Oh, God. Right.
It is a 60 IBU beer at a 6.2% ABV.
Is it 60 or 50?
60 IBUs, according to Beer Advocate.
Oh, my God, that smells so good.
It is intensely hopped, gushing, undead pale ale.
Undead pale ale. Is that a brewer's term?
Yeah, that's a BJC style. No, it's not.
I knew it.
Just reading what it has here. So it is a low run. From what I understand, it's a low run beer. It's not easy to get. When I was at the carryout, they would only sell me two. So I bought one, and I was still surprised at how much it was.
They would only sell you two?
They would only sell me two. That's,
wow, so it really is a limited release.
It's a limited release. It's not something they offer you around. Three Floyds is big, but it's not huge. And they almost all their beers are great. So this is Pliny the Elder is another one that is a low-run beer that is highly sought after. I think Hop Slam out of Bell's is another one.
Mm-hmm.
And they command a higher price. Like, I think Hop Slam is like $18 a six pack, which is ridiculous, but people will buy it. People buy it. Right, so good for them.
Whatever the market will bear.
Exactly.
And plus, I'm sure that the cost of production is actually commensurate with how much they're charging.
I would assume. So at 6.2,
am I using that word right?
Commensurate.
Okay. Yeah, just making sure.
You got me fooled. I don't know. I'm dumb. So let's give it a shot. This is the style is an American pale ale. All accounts I have read about this. This is the first time I've had this.
Oh, great.
So all accounts that I've read is really more of an IPA. It's a really highly hopped, American pale.
It does not fit the Geary, correct?
It does fit the Geary.
Oh, it does?
It does at 6.2%.
I'm looking at this. I'm looking at it
and
now.
60 IBUs, that fits right in the Geary theory.
Although I'm curious as to what you think. And let me know, and then I'll tell you what I'm looking at.
That is very hoppy for a Geary beer.
Hmm.
And I'm not saying that derivatively.
You're not wrong.
In the slightest. It's very...
Oh, for the listeners who don't know what the Geary is, it's the Geary theory. It's if the IBUs, which are what the international bitter units.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the level of bitterness in hops in a beer, is about 10 times more than the ABV of the beer, which is the alcohol by volume. So, like, let's say you have a beer that's 6% ABV that has a 60 IBUs, that's the perfect balance beer, according to a fine gentleman named Geary. And so we affectionately call this ratio the Geary theory or the Geary.
The Geary.
Because we can't think of anything better.
And it fits pretty well. I mean, like, because especially it's for somebody that does not like a hoppy beer, but you can go kind of high on the hops if you go high enough on the alcohol to
the malt, right?
Yeah, to malt on the malt to even it out. And my wife so far has found this to be true because she's not a big hops fan.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Geary is in effect,
yes,
it's shockingly accurate. I mean, it's I should say consistent.
Does Geary know that we actually talk about this?
I don't
on
know.
The podcast.
Probably not.
Does he know that there's a podcast?
I don't know.
Okay.
Does anybody else know besides us?
according to our downloads, no.
Jen knows.
Oh, Jen knows. That's right.
Oh, I'm so lonely.
We're talking to no one.
So, Kathleen, I'm really curious because I have this information in front of me and I really want to dish it.
I really like this. It does have that aftertaste that's this is made with plants. but not in an offensive way. Like, it's not like, I'm like, it's very good taste. And then the aftertaste is like, yes, there are hops in this beer. Mm-hmm. But I'm not, I don't find myself going, pah, pah, pah. So I like this.
Super.
I don't want to spit it out.
It tastes like plants, but it's not offensive.
Which is what I usually do when it's super hoppy. Is I'm like, why would you make me do this?
60 IBUs really isn't that... It's high, but it's not super high.
Right.
And at 6%, you know, again, well-balanced.
Right.
Now, I'm starting to think, okay, you're reading Beer Advocate. Yeah. I'm reading the Three Floyds website. And according to the website... IBUs are 50.
Oh, well.
And the ABV is 6.2. So whoever's right, I'm not sure. I would guess that the website's right, but I don't know because it tastes more strongly hopped than the Geary would.
Mm-hmm. Would allow for.
Yeah. So I'm thinking the Geary might actually be like within 10%. Like a
10% of the 10%.
Yeah. Maybe. I think it depends because when we were in Florida over spring break, we tried a whole bunch of local Floridian beers, and such a good word, Floridian.
You should have seen her face when she said it. Like the flourish, like Floridian.
Floridian.
The eyelash flutter.
Absolutely. And there were a couple that were within like a little bit of a percent. Like it would be 72 to 75 and things like that, and they would be like, bah, this is awful. And then there would be one that would be, you know, a similar distance apart, and it was like, oh no, this is pretty good. So I think there's a, what do you want to call it,
oh my god sorry
there's some wiggle room in there.
Yes. That's okay. Yes. That's not what I was trying to come up with, but it means the same thing. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You were trying to be smarter than me.
There's a plus or minus
which is not
to it on either side. But I think it also has to do more with the brewery too. If a brewery has a solid base in what they're doing and they consistently put out good beers, then I think they have more wiggle room to the Geary than one that, and then their stuff is going to be, so.
The funny thing about IBUs are far from an exact science, and there are lots of beer snobs out there that are IBUs are bullshit, blah 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 blah. And, but it's something to measure right now to give you a ballpark. Is like, okay, this is 100 IBUs. Holy moly, that's going to pucker my lips.
Do you know off the top of your head exactly how they're measured? I mean, is it like a meter of some kind or vapor?
Sure.
Like people wave a stick around and...
You know, Dave, I will do that research for you. That's a great question.
You will not.
I will not. I know. No, actually, that's something that I've always wanted to really know. It's got to be some sort of a chemical test because you can't just... I don't know. I'll figure it out.
It's like you put a hat on it
and it tells you exactly what house it's in.
Right, exactly.
It's like the amount of oil per parts per million or something like
crazy
that.
Like that.
Right. Okay. That makes a little sense.
Also, Kathleen, to your point,
it's tasty.
Hops are there are hundreds of different hop varietals.
Yes.
And each hop has a different flavor to it, aroma. So if you put a whole bunch of something like, let's say, Nugget into a beer, it's a very soft hop. There's not a lot of flavor going on there. You're not gonna you could put a pound in a 5 gallon bucket and it'd be just whatever.
What's the real popular one? We've mentioned it a couple times on
Cascade?
The show.
Cascade's a big one.
Yes, that's what it was.
Cascade's a big one. This one is made with Citra, which is a newer hop. And it's very
I'm all about the new hops.
Through its name, it's very citrusy, it's very lemony. So I do taste a lot of lemon in the hop profile here. So
what was the other hop we talked about?
I taste a lot of Amarillo hops.
Amarillo is very nice.
Yes. Amarillo hops. I'm here to play some poker.
So yeah, if you have the same amount of Amarillo hops in this beer as you have the same amount of Cascade in this beer, those IBUs are going to be more powerful regardless. Yeah. It's the flavor is going to be more intense. So it depends on what your recipe is. So,
the listener will be happy to know it does not taste of zombie or dust.
This is a true story.
Okay, Three Floyds has great beer names, and I would love to know where they came from.
And their artwork is marvelous too.
Comic books.
It looks like based on
the artwork cool. is very comic booky.
There's a zombie king.
What was the other one? What is the other for the Three Floyds we had?
There's Gumball Head.
Gumball Head. Yes,
Alpha
that was good.
Alpha King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was it were they the ones that had the one that had what looked like Ralph Bakshi art from Wizards?
I don't. Maybe I don't know.
Neither of those covers did. I know what you're talking about, but neither of those covers did. Neither of those labels did.
And don't they have a Darth Vader party?
They have a Dark Lord.
Dark Lord, maybe that's it.
And that is super rare. They even have a Dark Lord Day.
Yeah.
And that's something that sells out in minutes, if not seconds, when it's released.
It's like you have to travel to Mecca to go pick up the Dark Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, ooh, that's a movie.
It's a weekend
God,
festival.
You'll probably make me watch it, too.
And we'll love it.
You'd love it.
No, I will not.
Did you love this movie, Kathleen?
No, I did not. I actually have.
Shocking. Oh, let's talk about this. Okay.
I have a
only matter of time.
First. I have a first for Cassoine in the Good Beer Bad Movie history, where we started watching the movie, and I was,
unimpressed.
Whatever. I was not impressed. And so we're watching, I'm scrolling down my notes, and I'm just like, what in the hell have I gotten myself into again? And then, of course, I started to get tired, and I started to get a little more comfortable on the couch, and I even laid down at one point, and I totally fell asleep, but I kept waking up because they scream in this movie.
God, so much yelling.
Unnecessarily. Not just zombies are chasing us screaming. That actually is a plot point and would make sense. But they scream just to scream. And so I kept being jolted awake by the screaming, which then irritated me more. And so I finally just sat up and looked at Troy and I was like, peace out. I'm going upstairs. I walked away from the
mountain. You gave up.
Walked away.
Tapping out.
I was like, nope, I'm out. I'm done. This movie is stupid. I don't want to watch this. I can't even do my duty and fall asleep during the movie. So I'm out.
Duty.
I went upstairs. I made it to Sushi Boy being zombified.
Yeah.
And trapping rolls in the restaurant with him. Right. I woke up a couple times due to screaming. I saw him fighting the soccer players.
Oh yeah.
And I saw a couple other.
You made it quite a fighting,
but
the movie,
once
yeah.
like the whole kind of French farce of it all, where they're all running around chasing each other, which I just assume happened because I went upstairs. I was out. So yeah, I looked at Troy and I go, well, this will be the first for the podcast. I totally peace out the movie.
Out.
So yeah.
Did you finish it or just like no?
No, I was done.
No, she was,
this was last night that
you didn't miss much.
I will say we were discussing this morning, and this is why I asked you guys this earlier. We chose to watch the English dubbed version of it. So when we sat down to watch it, Troy said, he was like, okay, do you want to watch the Japanese with subtitles or do you want to watch the English dub or Chinese or whatever it was? I didn't know. And I said, oh, let's do the dubbed because then I don't have to actually watch it to know what's going on. Like I can look down to write notes and still hear what's happening. And he was like, okay, we can do that. And then this morning when we were talking about it, so I said, all right, what the hell happened in the movie? So he was filling me in and telling me what happened, what I missed. And I said, I wouldn't mind turning on the subtitled one and just, I said, granted, I don't want to watch the whole damn thing, but just skip through just a couple things because I want to see if there's a story difference.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about Mr. Cooey. Mm-hmm. And yes. What a misogynistic dickhole he is to his wife.
Oh, my God.
And so, and I said to Troy, I was like, maybe he's not like that in the subtitled version. you know, I mean, because when you're dubbing over like that, you can make the story anything you want it to be. And so, like, Troy brought up the fact, he was like, yeah, but there are all those times when he, like, looks at his wife and yells at her and the hand motions. And so I turned and looked at him and I was like, you're a fucking idiot. And then he was like, yeah. And then I went, the dogs are running away. And I did the exact same thing. And I was like, see, totally different story. And he was like, okay, I see what you're saying.
See, so you actually dubbed your own voiceover work? You did your own voiceover work?
I did my own voiceover work. I dubbed myself. So
it was weird how her lips didn't right sync with it the second time. It was,
super fucking talented, let me tell you. So
nobody caught what I said.
That's
I'm
why I was asking you guys which version that you had watched, because I'm curious if there is a difference in the story.
When we were instructed to watch this, I was given the dubbed version.
It's so on YouTube, so.
Right, okay. So I watched the dubbed version. That was what I was instructed to watch, and that's what I watched, and I chose poorly. I did not realize that there was a choice. Because it was a little zany.
I call this Clerks of the Living Dead.
Yes.
Oh, see, I said this is Mallrats meets Fast Times at Ridgemont High, meets the mall scenes, meets Dawn Shaun of the Dead before it was Shaun. Made.
Right. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like Dawn of the Dead meets Clerks.
Yep.
I'm not sorry, it meets Mallrats. I'm sorry.
Mallrats. That's how I describe this film.
Yeah.
Right. Mallrats meets Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
Except worse.
Crazy and Woody are totally Dante and Randall. This is Clerks.
But this is, I mean, it's in a mall. It's a pretty clear
it is a mall.
Homage. Yeah. Or like
they're definitely
a rip-off.
Not as charming as Jason Lee.
Yeah. And they're definitely not working. Though they do close the shop to go out and, I mean, they don't play hockey, but they get the boss's car.
Nobody knows what we're talking about.
We're talking about how this movie is Clerks, the zombie movie. Yeah. And here's the thing that will also probably make me unpopular in this room. I don't love Clerks. I love the concept.
It's understandable.
I understand the concept. I like the concept. I like what he was going for. But Dante's an ass.
You know what? And honestly, it is a movie that does not age well.
No.
It's pretty dated.
Not good people.
You know what?
No.
I saw Clerks when it was new, like in the early 90s.
And, right, me too.
It was fun. I enjoyed it. I really did like it. It was not like anything else I'd ever seen. If it came out now, it would just be tiresome.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
I think I might have told the story before, but I remember sitting. I rented it with a friend when I was in Ireland. And I so badly wanted to see it.
Yeah.
Did I tell it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And just
and she was like, "What the fuck? What are you
I just felt the waves of hate coming off of her." And I was like, "Fuck." Well,
no wonder you want to do this podcast so bad.
Oh yeah. That was vindication. No,
it's because you're used to that feeling, the waves of hate while you're making somebody watch a movie.
No, I totally get why people don't like Clerks. I liked it. I did rewatch it recently, and I still felt like, you know, I still liked it.
Sure.
But still quotable. I totally now get what people don't. And every now and again, I'll still say stuff like, in a row?
And I've actually sucking any dick on the way out to the parking lot.
And I've actually told somebody, asked them if they would like some making fuck.
That's hilarious.
They didn't think so.
So we are. These are terrible people. All these people are terrible people. Ugh. There isn't a single person that you don't. Maybe Mrs. Cooey, who is abused throughout the whole thing.
Yep. And poor Jelly, who just is Jelly.
Although she does rip her husband's arm off. At the
she
end.
She does.
Hilarious. That wasn't a husband's arm off. It was the zombie's arm.
Well, I mean,
was it a zombie arm? I thought it was a husband's arm.
No. I'm pretty sure.
No, I think you're right. I think it was a husband's arm.
Because they were
holding hands.
The zombies were trying
and
to
the zombies
pull
were
them
like
apart.
Ripping them apart, trying to eat them.
Oh.
And as the zombie ripped her shirt, by the way.
My bare breasts.
Oh no.
They weren't
like,
bare.
They were she had her bra on.
Unlike Jelly. Or no, Roll.
Rolls.
Because
they even made a comment, the braless look, is that like a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was like, what a dick.
Yeah, she changed her clothes in order to take her bra off, put on another shirt, and then just go out throughout the rest of the movie.
That's what you do, right?
I was fine with it.
I was okay with it as well.
Yep.
Oh, can we talk about how 90s-rific the clothes are? Like 1998,
totally.
It was dead on 98.
The baby barrettes.
Yes.
On either side of the temple of the girls.
Yeah, everything. All the clothing. What the guys were wearing, it was all very 98.
When she barfs on his shirt, he's like, oh, it's on my Calvin Klein.
You deserved it.
There were definitely some hilarious lines in this movie, and I will say the biggest plus that I had for the part that I watched, especially after the last movie that we watched, at least this movie moved.
Oh, there was no.
Do you think so?
Like in comparison to The Swarm? Hell yes, that movie was going backwards. It was going so slow.
But I mean, The Swarm wasn't so much a movie as it was like a medieval torture. I mean, it was like just this thing like.
Okay, all of these movies are medieval torture for me. But Iron Maiden slowly closes every time.
Yeah, the thumb screws just keep going and going. No, this movie I thought started out really slowly. And really, it wasn't until like maybe halfway through the movie when things started really picking up, when the zombies started appearing, I guess. And that's because I was starting to tune out a little bit.
As far as the story of this is a zombie movie and the zombies are going to attack, yes, there's a ton of buildup, but there's so much stupid shit going on that the scene changes constantly that you feel like the movie is moving.
That's true. Although I fail to see how much talking about how huge a guy's balls are as he's working on a car pushes the movie forward.
That was a very weird scene.
I don't complain about that. I'm not complaining about that because I enjoyed that scene.
That was a really bizarre scene. And I thought it was strange that they like shoved a bug inside of his pants.
Look
at this guy's balls. His nuts, I could hold a bowling ball.
Which is, again, why I wanted to
like... I'm cockroach into it.
Is this really the story? Like, is this what the subtitle version says? Like... I don't know. Part of me wants to believe that there's a better movie in here. We just did. Because, and I'll be honest too, when we first started watching it, I didn't understand the job that these guys had. I mean, the movie had been on for 3 seconds. How would I understand what the job was? I didn't get the whole, like, the guys, like, they were in the movie theater, and you see, like, the guys standing up and sitting down, and they're, like, talking, and I was like, this is some weird kind of fucked up Mystery Science Theater version of this movie. Like, I didn't understand, because it's like, are they watching a movie? Because they're doing their job. They were watching a film, filming it to make a bootleg DVD for the store that they work in.
I just got that.
You, like... I didn't understand that in the very beginning, so I don't know. I was just really confused for a long time.
Yeah, the mall might look kind of like a strange place. Like, what the hell mall looks like that? That is actually not uncommon in Asian countries.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like a mall. Not like all malls, but like a shopping center like that is not unusual.
It's a creepy ass mall. Can I just tell you?
It was claustrophobic.
Sorry. Yeah,
it's everything. Which was lots of mirrors and lots of windows and just
very narrow.
Close. Yeah,
which is weird because usually glass and mirrors you use to make a space feel larger.
Mm-hmm.
So a whole space that's full of glass and mirrors. Making a place feel smaller is kind of strange. I mean, I get it because, like, mirrors reflecting to mirrors, and then it's like looks like there's three times the people in the narrow hallway than there is. But
it ends up looking like a fun house.
Yeah, it was.
And the
weird
neon lights, like all the lights are like neon-y. They're like blue and red, and they're not just like
It's
light
like
bulb
past,
colored.
It's like walking past a neon-y T-Mobile store and then a Verizon store and then a, you know, they all have their like color that they associate
with. Lion's Den and then
Projects of Hollywood.
So weird. Guys were so weird. So the Zoda.
The Zoda pop.
First of all, I love that that's what you call it.
The zombie soda. Sorry.
The zombie soda.
I forgot already.
And then like, so two things about that. First of all, the liquid that they had in the zombie soda bottle that they like gave to that guy that they hid in with the car. Ugh! What? Why would you drink a beverage that looked like that?
Wasn't Fuse like that?
What was that? That drink with the balls?
Fuse was I think it was a Coca-Cola product, and it was in that shapely body.
Yeah.
Bottle.
Very shapely body.
Sorry. Nope.
That's thinking of rolls.
Bottle. Thinking of rolls. But it was Fuse, and it was a non-carbonated soda pop, but it was fruit flavored. I think it was different fruit.
Yeah.
It was short lived.
Yeah.
It wasn't Orbit. Orbit was weirder.
Orbit was, I think, the stuff you're talking
about.
The stuff
with the balls in it. That's the tapioca soda pop.
Yeah, it looked like
I just want to say it had balls in it.
What the hell is that? A lava lamp. That's what that reminded me of.
Yeah, it was a clear soda, or it looked like syrup.
Like a bubble tea?
Yeah,
kind of, but it's like a clear soda, but it had like yellow, tiny like beads in it, or balls.
It looked like it was full of Orbeez.
That's, like a bubble tea, I mean.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but not.
But they were all suspended in clear liquid, so it just kind of floated
instead of
there.
Instead of all sitting at the bottom.
You would spin it around, and it would like all spin around in the bottle, and then you drink it like, hey, and then you're like, I kind of wish I didn't buy this.
Because it's got to come out.
Just put in your body.
Exactly. But I thought it looked like Fuse. I thought that bottle looked like.
The bottle, yes. Skinny but the actual liquid that they poured was like.
Wasn't it orangey? Or,
yeah. And chunky. Like, I was like, ugh.
It is a horror movie.
It did look like it had solids in it.
Yeah. It was gross.
it was meat
But
pop.
It made me think of...
meat soda.
Oh.
Roast ox flavored.
It's like that sour, man. It made me think of the TV show iZombie. I know we've talked about it on previous episodes, or maybe not episodes, but we've talked about it. But there's a theme through the first episode where that's a way they're spreading this zombie illness
through soda, or
through through energy drinks.
It
made me wonder, like, and that they show stole it from is this. Based off of a comic book. So then it made me wonder if the writers of the comic book have seen this piece of shit and were like, "That's not a bad idea. Let's make it better."
What other movie was there where they were spreading a contagion through like a popular like product, like a soda or a
the
drink
stuff.
Or the stuff.
The stuff was yogurt, and it was making
it was
people.
Glowing, it was turning people into
globly things.
Globly things.
Yeah.
Soylent green.
Stuff.
So, yeah. Well,
but that's just people.
That's just recycled people.
Right.
But I remember this, like the contagion was spread through that. Oh, and I was also thinking of what the hell was it? Leviathan. When it was in the vodka.
I haven't seen Leviathan.
Oh my God! You're gonna go see Leviathan.
Okay.
Peter Weller and Hector Elizondo.
RoboCop.
Yes.
Ah, cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
You should.
I just saw him at Naked Lunch today.
You watched the Naked Lunch today?
That's really weird.
Like just for fun.
I regret it. I regret watching. Naked
I think
Lunch.
I've seen that movie.
You would remember if you saw that movie.
Peter. I remember a birdcage.
Oh, who's the
Peter Weller
director?
Oh, Cronenberg. I almost said Lynch.
It feels
it's
like
Lynch.
It feels Lynchy though, right?
It's very Cronenberg.
Is there a scene where someone's eating a sandwich with a crab, and the crab is like alive? Or am I mixing that up with a different movie?
No, I think that's in there somewhere.
Yeah,
I was not paying much attention to it anyway.
I mean, like a typewriter turns to a cockroach,
right?
Like, talking butthole,
right? Move on.
Yes, anyway, sorry.
Another podcast for another day.
Terrible.
I know what we're doing next month.
So do
Terrible.
I.
Terrible.
Yeah, speaking of talking butthole, I couldn't kind of get over how sophomoric everybody was in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because a horror comedy,
what
I get.
A segue.
because, like, the first things that come out of their mouths are really douchey.
Yeah.
Everything that comes out of their mouths are really douchey.
Yeah.
They kind of. I kind of wonder if they made them so horrible so that when they're nice, better, they're not noble, but they are actually like caring for one another and trying to help one another when the zombie apocalypse comes, then you feel a little bit, I don't know.
There's more of a transformation.
There is a transformation. They are not like horrible, awful people. They're just not great people at that point.
These aren't horrible, awful people.
During the zombie apocalypse, when they're like trying to escape and they're like working together and trying to help one another, and I, except for
Mr. Cooey,
who
locks
is
people out of elevators and pushes people in front of moving cars. And
yeah, Mr. Cooey never really redeems himself.
Except
for the very last moment when he tries to save his wife and fails. And you're like...
Too little, too late, dude.
It was definitely too little, too late. I mean, it was his moment. He gave it a shot and just failed miserably. But, you know, you could have stayed just hidden behind the vending machine and just cowered in fear. I mean, that was nobler-ish.
Nobler.
Nobler-ish.
Noble-er-esque? No, you know what? It does, I guess, seem kind of noble, but by that point, like, who cares?
That's what Kathleen said. Yeah. I tried to explain, like, how this was, like, he kind of had a redemption moment at the end. She's like, no, he didn't. He didn't save her, and he was an abusive dickhead. And I was like, well, but he tried, and she's like, no, fuck him. Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, fine. Then I guess he didn't. You didn't. Yeah. You felt you'd left by that point, but
so the one mentally checked out quite some time before that.
The unique twist in this film was our boy Loy, the sushi chef, zombie with a heart of gold.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, that's something about this movie.
The Romeo zombie. That's what I kept thinking.
Okay.
Was that he was the Romeo.
Well,
zombie.
He had googly eyes for Rolls.
Right.
And Rolls wanted and when he was dead.
Yes.
So. He gave her a present while he was a zombie.
A precious moment.
Yeah. And precious moments is always creepy. Ew. And he gets whacked over the head with it.
Which broke his heart.
Which
broke his heart.
Undead heart.
This cold, unbeating
but
undead heart.
But at the very end, as Woody and Rolls are trying to escape, they are saved by Loy.
Yes.
Who opens the garage door so that they can get out of the mall.
Off, yeah.
So
and then he gets drugged back down and eaten by his fellow zombies, weirdly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some aspects of the movie that kind of took a departure from traditional zombie lore. Like most of the, I mean, up until, I think, the 2004 remake of Dawn of the Dead, I think all zombies were like shamblers and like they're brainless or whatever. But, well, you know what? Actually, no, I take that back.
28 Days was
That wasn't a zombie movie. It was.
You're damn right it was a zombie movie.
It was not a zombie movie.
What?
I do not consider that a zombie movie. They were alive. They were just, they were under the influence of some sort of horrible.
They had the rage.
Yeah, some sort of infection that didn't kill them. It has all the elements of a zombie movie except for the fact that they're still alive and they're fast. They're runners. They're runner zombies, which I have a problem with, but I don't like hate. Zombies. But no, I was actually, I'm going to correct myself right now. I think it was Dawn of the Dead. Join us. Or we're coming to get you. Like the zombies were talking. There was some intelligence in them.
Oh.
What was that? Yeah.
They
were still brain. Well, Dawn of the Dead, they were flesh eaters.
Yes.
But before that, it was still they were brain eaters.
Yes.
Is that how? Because there's brain eating zombies and there's flesh eating zombies.
Right.
And these were flesh licking zombies. I swear to God, he was licking her face.
Yes, he was. I was waiting for that. We have the movie running in the background on the TV.
Stop looking at the TV.
It's about that scene's about to happen. So,
well, you remember like they were like join us and all that's like that would actually happen in some of these movies. And I was about to say like according to Zombie Lord, they are completely unintelligent, just sort of shambling, brainless cannibals. But now I'm thinking, like in this movie, there was some still intelligence. There's still some intelligence in them. Like they're operating machinery, like the. The switchboard, like, remember the cop was operating the switchboard to do stuff?
Yeah.
And then Loy, the sushi boy, still harboring some sort of feelings through his, you know, with his
right.
He made finger sushi.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that. So gross.
Marvelous.
He fashions a piece of sushi out of a finger.
And there's like just a little rice cakes with the sushi wrapped with a strip of seaweed.
Yeah. In Shaun of the Dead, at the end of the movie, they show like how they're living with the zombies. Mm-hmm. And like they talk about them like being trainable for like menial work. If you know, you still have to, they still want to bite you.
Right.
They still are like a bit like a wild animal, but you can semi-domesticate them.
You can harness them, literally harness them and like have them pull stuff.
So they there's some of that. And then in that TV show, iZombie, that I was talking about based off of the comic book, if you feed them a regular diet of brains, they don't become this staggering, shambling mess. Huh. If they can eat the brains, then it's fuel, it's protein, it keeps them normal and functioning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the lead girl in the show, realizes this, and she gets herself a job in a morgue.
Well, duh.
Right, right. And so, but then, like, there's a whole thing about them, like, trying to purposely scratch, like, powerful people, and then they have to then blackmail them. Like, those people are basically being blackmailed.
Oh, scratch them, meaning infect them and make them zombies. Okay.
And make them zombies. So then they're like, so if you don't want to become this, you have to get your diet of brains from me, and that'll be $500 a head or like stuff like that. And so I did that on purpose.
Well done.
So there's kind of like, that's one of the things, because I mean, we know these aren't my kind of movies, but in general, I don't love a zombie story. Like, I'm just kind of like, it's gross.
My least favorite monster.
Yeah. And so, Easily. But I love the concept of iZombie, because I love that twist that it's mm-hmm. like, it's an illness and it's an infection, but you can
treat it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and over the past, I'd say, what is it, about 10 years now, like, zombies have been very in the public.
They're very cool.
Yeah.
Well, like they're very popular because mm-hmm. of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, right.
That hit the mainstream. And
yeah, and it hit hard. And I was a huge fan mm-hmm. initially.
Yeah.
I have completely divested at this point.
So from the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that show.
But like...
because you're still reading the books, right?
Yeah, I'm still reading the
books.
They'll never stop.
They'll never stop them. There's no plan to stop that.
Apparently.
So
the show, you mean?
No.
The books.
Oh, the
books, yeah. Excuse me. You know, Robert Kirkman has said, we are never going to stop. It's just going to keep going forever until I can't do it anymore. Okay. But with Shaun of the Dead, which I loved.
I loved that too. But I love Simon Pegg.
I do too.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
That's weird. Yeah. You know what? I've committed. the remake of Dawn of the Dead, 2004, I think it was. I think it was Zack Snyder. Like with the first of the true zombies.
Running. I'd have to look it up. I don't remember.
Is that the one where this starts with the little girl in the hallway?
Yes. Who jumps
Jesus
up like that? Yeah.
God.
Who jumps up?
I couldn't get past that.
It was creepy. And after I liked it. And what's his face from Modern Family was in it, and Ving Rhames, and
yep.
Sarah Pauly. Anyway, it was good. I liked it. But after that, like, the zombies were really popular, and I forgot where I was going with this. I totally forgot where I was going with this.
And there's lots of zombie things.
What the hell were we talking about?
Dave's driving.
What? Crazy bus to downtown.
I fucking bricked. I hit a brick wall.
You parked the car in the garage by running it into the wall. That was the dumbest thing. And then he blames Crazy because you made me drive too fast.
Right.
He's always yelling at somebody.
He's a horrible person.
He's so weird.
Oh, you're talking about the movie now.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Sorry.
I'm fucked up.
I was...
Like, I'm not actually drunk. I'm just... I don't know where my brain went.
That's trying to save you, Dave. Reeling you in.
Well, I'm going to go into a corner for a little while.
Oh, no. Love you, Dave.
You're all right.
Yeah, you're all right. Okay.
So I liked the sushi love story, sushi zombie love story. That was fun. And there are some great scenes, like the scene where Crazy B drops the key into the mouth of the at the moment dead security guard, and he has to fish it back out. And that was really clever and really well done. And it was genuinely like.
I don't remember that part.
Apparently I think he probably left by that time.
Oh, when they were detained.
Like,
right, I saw them handcuffed to the thing.
Right, and then Crazy B like cuts the part of the desk so that...
To free Woody.
Yeah. Can
and
run.
And he has to carry that big computer around. I actually thought that was really funny,
And
too.
So as they're running down the hallway, they see a dead security guard on the ground. Okay. And so he's like, get the keys. And so Crazy like walks up kind of like, and he reaches into the pocket. He pulls it out. He's like, I got it. And something, Mrs.
Cooey
screams, because I don't remember why. And Crazy was like, ha! And he like flinches, and the key falls right into the guy's mouth. Yeah,
right into his dead body's mouth.
That's hilarious.
And he has to reach
into a zombie at any moment.
This is the part where I was starting to fall asleep.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and he has to reach into the mouth, and it was just like, it was really good. I like that part a lot.
The movie had its moments. Like, I think my favorite part of the movie was... I think it was Woody and Crazy B were wrestling with a zombie that attacked him, and they behead it somehow. Like, it was a bag over its head.
Yes.
They cut its head off, and Crazy B has a bag with a zombie head in it.
Oh, yeah.
And is jumping up and down and smashing it against the ground and against the wall. And I did laugh out loud at that one. I'm like, okay, I'm in.
And then Woody's got a drill, like a like a battery operated drill, and just literally drills through a zombie till he's dead.
He's drilling, and there's one part where the battery falls out. He's like, get the battery, and Crazy like slides under and shoots the battery up under it. It was a great one because he had the drill bit into the guy's mouth, and he shoots it up there, and then he just turns it on like,
His head explodes. I think my favorite though is when Crazy B has a pipe with a faucet at the end, and he shoves it into the back of some zombie's head, and then turns the faucet on, and he's just goo starts leaking out of the faucet. Ew. Oh, it was glorious!
Oh
my gosh!
Genuinely funny stuff.
I mean, we talked about how horrible these people were, but I did come to really like. I really liked Crazy B.
Crazy B was
and like, and so when Mrs. Cooey and Mr. Cooey died, Crazy B is trying to save them, and especially Mrs. Cooey, who he kind of had a crush on.
Right, and in the process,
he gets bit. So then we have the scene where Crazy B is slowly going zombie, and he's feeling it, and he's scared, and he's talking cold. About how he just wants to go to a movie with a pretty girl. And I'm just like, no, poor Crazy B. And then he gets pulled from the room through the window.
Well, no, let's not forget, like he was in on the couch, like talking about like he can't find a nice girl, and he's getting really cold, and Woody's like, here, I'll hold you and like try to give him body warmth, and then on the other side of him, Rolls is like, I'll hold you too, and then. I think that's the line when Crazy B, who is shivering and dying, says, "Now I know Rolls has totally great tits." Yeah. You're pressing her bare,
like, you're looking bare, guy, Woody.
Braless boobs against him, and he kept saying stuff like that. And I'm like, I can't help but start to really like this movie at this point.
I was won over. I was so.
And that's not to say this is a good movie or that like that redeemed the movie, but like. I would give a lot more stuff a pass after that. Not because boob tit jokes are funny necessarily, but it was just the way that one was happening. Like he's dying, he's cold, and like just out of nowhere he starts talking about how like boobs are getting pressed against him. I thought that was funny. I don't know why.
I'm on board.
Yep. Well, I think that's the Clerks and zombie mix because it is kind of the rude dickhead. Not great people, but you're interested in what they have to say. Humor along with the horror.
Yeah.
And at the end, it almost feels like, okay, they... and then we want to talk about the end real quick. Like at the end, they get away. They get out of the mall. And then you realize that it's everywhere. It's now spread across.
Right. Somehow this Zoda Pop has... made its way into the public.
Right.
And Woody sees on the TV
that it's spreading. A
newscast that says, if you're alive, get someplace. The zombies are coming and get yourself someplace safe and be beware of soda because it seems to be spread by that. And he looks back and he sees Rolls drinking the soda. Did you notice that he gets in and he just picks up the soda and he takes a swig too. Yeah. And that's where it ends.
Yeah. The movie took a pretty
bleak
turn. Yeah.
Yeah.
It went from horror comedy to just kind of like, okay, well, we all give up.
Yep.
Which is actually very consistent with most zombie movies. Like, which is why stuff like iZombie and Shaun of the Dead and a lot of, like, or what is the other one? Warm Bodies with Nicholas Holt.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that.
Is that the one where the zombie falls in love with the girl?
Yes.
And it plays around with the whole physiology and the mythology of zombies. And those kinds of movies and shows kind of have to happen because otherwise, it's all going to be Dawn of the Dead or A Night of the Living Dead. Yeah. It's going to be like a couple of people trapped in a specific place or in being pursued by or continuously trying to get away from the zombie apocalypse. But you'll never get away. Like that's, I think, why you, Pete, don't like zombies because it's hopelessness.
Absolute hopelessness. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's no matter what happens, you will get overrun. You can't. They will outnumber you eventually, and they'll just. They'll break down all your barricades, and you'll end up getting killed.
Yep.
All right.
There is no end. There's no happy ending.
I think we need to take a quick break because we have a vocalist upstairs that I'm hearing through the headphones.
Oh. Those are nice noise-canceling headphones, too.
That would be my child.
So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to grab our last beer. We're going to talk about the beer, and a little bit more about the show, give our six-pack synopsis, and roll the show out. So, let's do it.
All right.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
Bear me.
All right.
There it is. All right. Ooh.
Soft Ooh, opening.
That is fragrant.
Bong. All right, Dave. As Dave is pouring, I'll talk just briefly about this. This is another beer I haven't had. This is called Amber Smashed Face. Again, by Three Floyds. I was drawn to this.
I don't know. Well,
what could have possibly drawn you to this, Pete?
Well, the artwork.
It sounds like Native American naming convention. And this is my son, Amber Smashed Face. That was very stereotypical. I apologize.
I was looking for zombie dust at the store, and I couldn't find it anywhere. Little did I know it was behind the counter. And as I was cashing out with this, I saw it behind the counter. I went, give me one of those, too. We are enjoying a bubbly. Did you see that?
Yes, I saw this big bubble at the top.
This is a 22. It's a bomber. It is an American amber or red ale. It is topping out at 7.8%. It is to be respected.
7.8.
It does not have a listed IBU that I see on this page right here. It says it's an aggressively hopped American amber ale, sure to crush your skull and liquefy your brain.
Not my brain. I need that. Or do I?
What does that say on the label there, Kathleen? Cannibal Corpse?
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means.
Cannibal Corpse is a metal band.
Oh.
Or death metal band.
Maybe Three Floyds made it for... I have no information about it here because I suck at... I picked these up on
you
the way
prepared.
Over.
You prepared.
So anyway, this is a big beer. It's going to be an amber beer, so it's going to be sweeter. It's not quite an Oktoberfest, but you can kind of think that level. A Maybach, something sweet like that. It does say it's aggressively hopped, so I might as well just take a sip.
Let's find out what it tastes like.
Oh, that's
like.
A...
It smells hoppy.
That's hoppy, yeah.
Ooh, it makes me hoppy.
That's delightful.
Yeah.
Most red ales, amber ales, whatever, they're really sweet to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of the Killians of the world.
No, I hate ambers.
I love my Great Lakes, but the, what is it, the Elliott Ness, I'm not a fan of, or the Conroy, Conway's Irish Ale. That's a red ale. I'm not a fan. I can drink it. It's fine. But I probably won't order it. This is nice.
Yeah. Well, I think because the hops comes through. I mean, it's not just that malt.
You've got that malt. Yeah. You got that malt.
The malt's definitely there.
More hops in it to balance it. So it's not so tongue heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm really curious about the...
That's a funny sentence.
When you get a really sugary beer, it just weighs my tongue down.
I call that tar belly. Because you drink enough of that, you like start to feel it's like, like your whole stomach is coated in that cooked sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Tar belly, tongue heavy.
Right. I know. I think we can start our own brewery.
That sounds like a good band. Tar bellies.
Tar belly.
I'm so curious about the IBUs on this now.
We are tar belly. I don't know why.
The name tar belly sounds like something that would have like a washboard accompaniment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Amber Smash Face IBU.
I'm thoroughly enjoying this, but it doesn't surprise me because it's from Three Floyds. Mm-hmm. They're similar to Rheinheist and Great Lakes. They just don't make many beers that aren't good.
You just like bubbles.
It is. It's effervescent.
I do like bubbles, but I like other things they have too.
And Dave's looking something up here.
Yes, I'm trying to find out what the IBUs are. It doesn't say on the Three Floyds website. And
I don't like an amber as a rule.
Yes.
Which we've discussed before.
Yes. Weren't you asking for a good amber?
I said that I did not like an amber, but that I would keep trying until I could find one.
This is probably
the closest to, like, if you said, hey, I bought this and this is what we're going to share tonight, I wouldn't be like, ugh, like I have about others.
Sure.
So
high praise.
It is because I really hate.
I don't detest this.
So
the style.
So yes. If somebody were to
not the person.
Sometimes the people. Sometimes.
No, those are gingers, not ambers.
No.
Oh, by the way, fully half of the podcast members are gingers. I will leave it to the reader or readers.
I'll leave it to the
viewers to figure out which ones they are.
I don't have hair.
It's me.
And me.
Prove it.
Dave,
I am not a ginger. I'm actually Swedish.
Ginger. Ginger Asian would be good, too.
Asian ginger.
We are ginger Asian.
Ginger Asian. What tar belly.
What has happened here?
I don't know. Oh,
you
no.
brought strong beer. That's what's happening.
It's true, yeah. Again, respect this guy. I mean, the last one was, well, we've all been drinking. Never mind.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I might have been drinking before we started recording.
I know I was.
Aren't we always?
Mm-hmm. We have to. It's the podcast.
I'm aware. Even I was drinking during the movie last night.
Yeah, God,
I really wish I was. You know what? I was thinking as I was watching this, because I was watching it last night, and Donna was sitting next to me with her phone. She was very much not invested in this movie at all. Except for every now and again to pipe up and say something like, that was stupid.
That's stupid. Yeah, probably because her attention was drawn because of the screaming.
Yeah. And the bad voice, not the bad voice acting, the acting itself was probably fine, but it was just really distracting. And so she would say something every now and again like, whatever. Like, that's ridiculous. And it was right on schedule, about every 10 minutes or so.
Right, random out of nowhere.
So, I did discover or realize that this movie is definitely, the viewing experience of this movie definitely improves with the number of people watching it with you actively and, the amount of alcohol involved. I had no alcohol and was with my wife, who very much would, all other things being equal, probably rather be somewhere else or with me not watching this movie. But if I was with, like, the three of you watching this with a plenty of beers, I think it probably would have been more...
Then two-thirds of us would have made you happy about it.
I am impressed with you for the fact that when you're watching one of these movies and your wife is sitting next to you and is miserable about it, that you feel bad. Like, oh, I'm sorry that you have to do this. The more the movie annoys me, the more Troy enjoys it.
That's not entirely true, because, like, The Swarm proves that false, because we both were miserable.
Okay, but see, that's the thing.
Wow.
You were miserable, so therefore you felt bad that I was miserable. But if you're liking the movie, you don't care that it makes me miserable.
That's true. That's totally 100% true. That is not. I'm not even being funny about that. That is an actual true statement. And
what was that horrible movie that you and Jen made me watch? That
have to be more specific.
It's a newer movie. It's the end of the world.
Oh, Snow.
Snowpiercer.
Piercer.
No.
I liked that movie.
Is that the one with Seth Rogen? And
yes.
End of time or end of the world or something like
Seth
that.
Seth Rogen?
Yeah, where the devils, I mean, hell's come to earth and like.
Oh, this is the end.
This is the end.
That's it.
That was awesome.
No.
It's great.
Jen had already seen the movie. She thought it was hilarious. She and Troy wanted to watch the movie. I was like, whatever, that's fine. So I'm sitting through the movie on the end of the couch every other minute going.
I'm with you, Kathleen. That one was
it's Troy and I. Me and Troy.
It's completely stupid. Great. And they are not only giggling their fool asses off at the movie, but they are thoroughly enjoying the fact that I am annoyed as shit at this movie.
We're like pointing and laughing at her.
Jen is even more enjoying it because we had, in this same trip, I think, that she was in town. We had gone to see the new version of
Independence Day Resurgence, I think it was called.
The sequel to Independence Day that just came out a couple years ago. And she was sitting between Troy and I. And I'm watching the movie going like, well, this is dumb, but whatever. Because we're at the theater and Troy is sighing through the whole thing. So
I'm actually surprised that you committed to watching that movie in the theater.
Jen wanted to see it. We blame her.
Well,
if I were Jen, I would write you a card. Perhaps an apology card.
Write you a card.
Jen, I think you owe me a card.
No, I did catch a little bit of that. I think it might have been on HBO at some point, which I totally pay for. This is a capitalistic society. I pay for goods and services. So let's just leave it at that. But I caught a few minutes of it. I'm like, nope. None of that.
Your instincts were totally correct on that. That is the biggest waste of 7 hours, it felt like. But it was two that I've ever had. I mean, it was just, woof.
This is long, but at least it was terrible.
Yeah, exactly. I think my life expanded, extended because of this fucking movie. I now feel like I've lived many, many years longer than I did.
This movie, the Biozombie movie, which I'm not quite sure about the title.
Oh, yeah, Biozombie. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we were talking about that movie. I forget what I was talking about.
Oh, Dave, come on.
I enjoy Dave at this level of drunk.
I'm not even drunk. Or am I?
I'm just forgetful.
What is the ABV in this?
I don't know. 7.8.
7.8. No, it's IBU he was looking
for. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you couldn't find the IBUs.
That's right. There is no listing of the IBUs on this one.
It's a secret.
But whatever it is, it's high.
This is pretty good.
I don't know how much of this I could drink, but I would enjoy.
No, this is a bottle to share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you said before, Troy, this is something I would enjoy until I don't.
Yeah.
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 It's sort of like playing with a cat or like petting a cat. Like you pet a cat for exactly as long as it lets you. Mm. And after that, like, oh, I love this. I love all this purr. And then about 3 seconds later, like, no, I'm done. And the cat lets you know by slashing you and lacerating your hand.
It's because cats are evil.
Yes. Soulless evil
creatures.
We've
had this conversation. I can convince so many people of so many things, but this is something I cannot convince
people
of.
Cats are evil creatures. They are the devil.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they're evil. I just think that they're kind of indifferent whether or not you're around.
Nope, evil.
They make good slippers.
No.
You stay away from my cat, Pete.
Jeez.
Eradicated.
Some strong feelings.
Eradicated.
Thank you. They should be eradicated.
No. Does that work?
No, not really.
No.
I don't want to be the only one that. Anyway, sorry.
That what? That loves this movie? We know you love this movie. It's cool.
I don't know if I love it. Well.
Should we rate it?
Let's. I have one weird thing.
Oh, I love it. And let's hear it.
And as I thought I had the trivia, I thought I was like, I'm going to blow your fucking minds with this trivia. And now I'm looking a little closer and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm right on this one.
Okay. Well, what is it?
Is it trivia about the stars?
Yes, it's trivia about the stars.
Okay, because I was wondering, are these people stars?
Well, I was just going over and looking at their profiles. The four main people, Woody Invincible, Crazy Bee, Rolls, and Mr. Cooey are big time stars. They are working actors and actresses. Okay. They have a long list of filmography dating back to, this was a lot of their first films. But they have since gone on to, well,
this
I don't
is obviously
say
a star
illustrious
vehicle.
Careers. But they've gone on to very successful careers. But the nothing that I've seen.
Right.
Except this one. toward the end when they got there, the weirdest cutscene in the movie was when they all got the video game profiles.
Yes.
So I briefly touched on it in the synopsis. What happens is I think somebody finally kills a zombie and all of a sudden all the four main characters, well, Mrs. Cooey, Rolls, Woody and Crazy all get this look in their eyes, like they're becoming Ash.
Okay,
you know, they're going from Ashley to Ash in the Evil Dead, because there's a switch that's flipped for Bruce Campbell, and you can see it where he goes to meek, timid Ashley to badass, chainsaw driven,
right,
kick ass, zombie killing.
Give me some sugar, baby.
Right. So yeah. Right, exactly. So there was a switch that was flipped, and as that instead of everybody giving kind of a Dwayne Johnson eyebrow,
right,
they got the hero shots.
They had their photos up there. They were rotating, and they got the video game. Their name, their superpower, their sex drive,
their Mortal Kombat stats.
Exactly.
Right.
And then the bottom of every single one of them, they had idol. So I think Crazy's was Bruce Lee.
Yes.
And Woody was some other macho dumbass.
Rolls was Hello Kitty.
Rolls was Hello Kitty. Yeah.
I'm almost out. I missed that.
Mr. Cooey was... I looked up the name and it meant nothing to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even write it down because it meant absolutely nothing. But I thought I paused it, and Mrs. Cooey had, as her idol, was Chan Shu Chun. So I Googled that name, and I thought it turned out to be the actor that played Woody Invincible.
Oh,
so I
that would
dug
be awesome.
A little deeper. And it looked like they were a couple.
Ooh.
Oh.
Like they were married at one time or a couple or whatever it was.
Because
there were lots of very, there it is. Now that we're, this is really good podcasting. right there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The movie's playing in the background.
That's hilarious.
So
what a weird thing to do.
Totally
in the movie.
Super weird. But now that I'm looking at it, their Wikipedia pages don't connect them at all. So I'm, instead of digging any deeper,
you're just going to let it go.
I'm just going to let it go and say,
aww,
hey, guess what? Her idol was her husband.
Is that the name of the actor that plays Woody Invincible?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something
there's some kind of connection there. We just can't find it.
I thought I dug just deep enough to go, oh, look, this is cool. They were a couple of some sort.
Yeah.
And now that I'm looking at their Wikipedia pages, they have no connections.
Not siblings, not spousal
connections. Now, so maybe they were a couple at one point. Dear listeners, correct me if I'm wrong. Those of you who are
experts at Hong Kong
deeply
cinema.
Exactly. Thank you.
And I've been wondering, actually, when I was watching this movie.
Or just really good at research.
If your Google Foo is stronger than Pete's. Oh, you guys have not. Have you really not heard of the term Google Foo?
That's a new one on me. I love that.
Hi, Google Foo.
I love that.
Oh, yeah. Your Googling abilities.
Yeah. Troy says that I have strong tickle foo.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, tickle foo. Oh, sorry. I totally heard something else.
Oh my!
I'm not sure what I heard anyway, but
something dirty.
Yeah, and it might have had something to do with vaginas. I don't know. I don't know what I heard. Maybe I am drunk.
I think
you've crossed the threshold, dude.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna wisely stay quiet.
Just pull that one out of your back pocket.
Everybody's so pretty today.
That was my only weird trivia of the whole thing. I thought the one thing was, we talked last week about the film, and I thought, Rolls, who's Angela Tong, I thought she was in The Walking Dead, but she wasn't in The Walking Dead. She was in what was it? The
Dead Walking or something like.
Yeah.
The Dead Walk. Or
it
walk.
Was,
what?
It was
the Dead.
One of those knockoff shows?
Maybe that was Don I was talking to.
Yeah, we looked it up, and it was some show that was called something like The Dead Walk, or.
So it's like a ripoff of The Walking Dead?
Yeah, it was some sort of a.
That's
some
funny.
Sort of where, and as I'm looking through her Wikipedia, I'm going, oh, The Walking Dead. She was in that. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
That's what my brain processed.
Right.
And no, it was.
No, she was not in The Walking
hilarious.
Dead. She was in a legally permissible imitation of
exactly.
The Walking Dead.
She was
are
in
we
the...
sure it wasn't porn? Because usually those are the ones that like to like play with the titles.
Yeah, The Walking Diddle.
Oh, good God.
Ew.
But I really did wonder exactly
the walking
how,
head.
Oh, that's better than mine. I'm mad.
Oh, he's so sad now.
I think they were equal, Dave.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. But I really did wonder exactly how well this did in Hong Kong, because, I mean, it doesn't look like one of those throwaway movies. I mean, it looked like there was some effort put into it.
I didn't see a whole lot of...
except for the zombies.
Box office for this
one. Yeah, the zombies were...
Some of them were decent. Like at the end, there's some bloody faces and stuff, and like the hanging...
Yeah.
I found it interesting. Like, there's a lot of moments where the zombies are walking towards the people, and it'll pan over to the zombies, but they'd never keep the camera still while it's pointing at a zombie. It's shaking back and forth, so you can't actually look. I can't focus, and it's back to one of the humans. So I found that
the makeup was rough. I mean, the zombies would turn into zombies, and they would get real pimply, pussy.
Yeah, I didn't understand why their zombie affliction started as like
sores,
acne,
sores on their faces.
Right.
I mean, it just looked like me at 16.
Aww.
Sadly.
So sad.
Poor Troy.
So maybe they just needed oxy pads?
Maybe.
Oxy pads. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, it's probably cheaper than... not oxy pads. The makeup that they did in this movie was probably cheaper than actual rotting flesh makeup. Like the torn flesh and skeletons and stuff like that, I guess.
Yeah.
So I found the... box office here. It looks like it made $6 million Hong Kong dollars.
That means nothing to me.
Yes, exactly.
How much did it cost to make it?
I do not have that information.
Okay. Well, did you remember the denominations that they were talking about in this movie? Like in the dub anyway, they're talking about thousands.
Yeah.
I don't know what the exchange rate was back then.
Like the phone was $3,000.
Yeah.
I mean, they do use dollars in Hong Kong. At least before, for a while there, they were using dollars. I mean, there's Hong Kong dollars. That's the thing. But I don't know what the exchange rate is.
But there's Australian dollars. There's Canadian dollars.
Right.
They're not all equal.
Right. No, I'm not saying that they are. But it makes me think that, like, maybe it's every thousand at the time was, like, $100. That seems to make sense. Like, $300 for a phone seems reasonable.
$3,000 for a phone does not sound reasonable.
No.
But $300.
$300 does sound
like a plausible number for a secondhand phone that was taken off of a zombie.
For a stolen phone.
Yeah, for a stolen clamshell StarTAC that's taken off of a zombie.
Hey, it's bright yellow.
That wasn't available.
And it was a flip phone.
I had a flip phone.
I think we all had a flip phone. I did too. At some point.
Candy bar. I was a candy bar flip phone dude.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. I was that guy.
Wow.
I actually had the brick, like the big, what looked like a giant Twinkie.
The Zach Morris phone?
Almost. Not quite
that big. Wow.
But I had that for a while, hanging on my belt.
And it was nice.
Just sexy. Stupid. Because it was too big to put in my pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a really boring story. So let's get back to this.
Well, are we done? Shall we wrap this up?
Yes, God.
So. Shall we just give us our six-pack? Or six-pack ratings.
Is there any more beer?
There is more beer. There's no more special beer, but go grab a beer.
Beer is special.
Kathleen, I know you are thrilled to put this to bed. So give us your six-pack rating. How many beers does it take
to enjoy this?
To enjoy this film, and you can only go up to six.
Actually, I'll be honest with you. Good, solid... high percentage beers like we've been having tonight. Three.
Wow, and you walked away from this. I'm surprised.
I did, but...
There's a lot of yelling.
There's a lot of yelling. I think that was part of what really annoyed me, for sure, with that. Yeah, maybe four. Maybe four.
Three and a half? Four?
What else did you rate a four?
I can tell you. If you give me a minute.
Hawk the Slayer. Is it better than Hawk the Slayer? Oof. Oh, the pained look on her face.
Howard the Duck was a four for Kathleen, and so was Single Santa.
Is it better than Single Santa?
I think it's better than... Well, it's not my rating, sorry.
Yeah, I have four. I would say it's on par with Howard and Santa.
Wow.
Yeah.
We have such different tastes in movies.
Troy, what about you, man?
It's a two.
Yes!
It takes a while to get there, but once it starts rolling, I was in, signed up, let's go. Rolls is super cute.
True.
Let's do it.
Two. Dave, what do you think, man?
Three. Yes. conditional three.
What?
Okay, conditional if I had fun. If I had to watch it by myself, three. Because I didn't really dig it. I loved the company I was with, but had she been into it even a little bit,
mildly,
I might have enjoyed it more.
I think that that's about kind of what is swaying my rating as well. I'll be honest with you. If you would have asked my rating last night, I would have said a billion. Because fuck you, I'm out of here. Like, I'm not even watching this movie. But
fuck this, fuck you, fuck this TV for playing this.
Right, but
take this TV back.
What, listening to you guys talk about it, like Troy tell me about the ending of it this morning, and then like some of the stuff that I definitely missed because I made the decision to walk away, that could have been entertaining. Like I thought, because one of the things that he told me about this morning was Mr. Cooey hiding behind the Coke machine and the zombie trying to get a Coke, yeah. And him like reaching around and putting the money in so that the guy could get the Coke. Like, I thought that was funny. You know, like, I was like, the way you're telling that story is very funny. I don't know that I would have found it entertaining watching it, but the way you're telling it is kind of funny. So I think that might be why I'm kind of at that four level, is because you guys have definitely enjoyed it. And I don't know, maybe. I think that's what it is.
I did enjoy it, but it would take me three beers to enjoy it.
by yourself?
By myself.
Right.
If I was in company, a mixed company that enjoyed it, it might be a two.
Right. And I'm saying it would take mixed company that enjoys it for me to be at four and 8 billion for me to be by myself.
That's quite a swing. So
yeah.
Maybe we watch it together next time.
Or not watch it again at all.
Well, we need to see it subtitled, right?
I just want to skip through it.
You don't need it to do anything, I guess.
How about you, Pete? Curious.
I'm on board, Troy, too.
Yeah.
Man, I've seen this twice by myself. And to Dave's part, you said it started slow. And it kind of did. And it was super annoying that there's all this yelling, unnecessary yelling that doesn't move the story forward at all whatsoever. But the payoff is great. The zombie action is awesome. I genuinely laughed out loud at some of the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
Surprised when the arm got ripped off. The faucet kill was great. And it was a really dark ending. Dark.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. The world is ending, and he's like, fuck it.
Oh, well, I guess I might as well just have a sip of this Zoda.
I'll have a zip of Zoda.
A zip of Zoda.
So, yeah, two for me. So we've got Pete and Troy at two, Dave at three, and Kathleen at four. That's
a win.
None of that is surprising to me. I think that's all.
Yeah.
Right. Kathleen, tell our dear listeners.
See if you can get these letters in the proper order and the proper amount.
I always get them in the proper order. I may add an extra N here and there, which I do apologize if you have.
That's why we're not getting any emails. It's because you're putting too many letters in it.
Look.
Yes.
You have one job. You have one job.
It's true.
Although, showing up, I suppose, is a job.
Watching the movie is a fucking job. All right.
Wait till next month.
Dude.
I don't like when he says things like that. I really don't.
So excited.
I really don't.
I'm honestly tempted to suggest movies that I know that the three of us are going to hate, that she is going to tolerate and laugh at us for.
Bring it.
Well, that just had recently happened. There was something I didn't. I didn't enjoy the movie, but there was, I think it was The Swarm. Troy was so miserable with The Swarm, and I was like, yes, fuck you. That's how it feels for me all the time.
Schadenfreude is one of the cornerstones of a good marriage.
Well, let me tell you something. We are on solid ground over here.
Like, oh, honey, you're suffering. It bolsters my day. It sustains me throughout the rest of my life.
Cockles of my heart.
Knowing that you're hating what you're going through right now just is the only thing that's keeping me going.
Right on. So,
it's like you know us so well.
We need to check those security cameras. I'm not sure they're hooked up the way we think they are.
Your marriage warms my cold, dead, black heart.
If you too would like to warm Dave's cold, dead, black heart, you can send us an email at gbbmnpodcast@gmail.com. You could use that same complicated set of letters to find us on Instagram and Twitter, gbbmnpodcast. And you can go to the Facebooks where we get to use the whole word good beer, bad movie night. If you are listening to us on a variety of different podcatchers or what have you, if you could find your way over to Apple Podcasts, it is no longer, it's a subsidiary of iTunes, if you will, to leave us a rating and a review. We would much appreciate that. If you love what's happening and you enjoy the fact that I'm tortured monthly by these boys with
Delicious.
These movies, then please continue to give us positive ratings and reviews. And if there's something that you are unhappy about, please let us know, because we will either fix it or say fuck you. So it depends on what you're complaining about.
If you're complaining about the quality of your bootleg VCD, we might just send you a porno.
Or shoot at you with a virtual cop gun.
Yeah, it was a Nintendo light gun that they threatened him with.
No,
it was a virtual cop.
I'm pretty sure it was a Sega virtual cop gun.
Doesn't matter.
Where do I know that?
I have no idea what they're talking about at this point. So
blah, blah, blah.
Anyway, right. Email us or don't. Who cares?
So next
we
month,
care.
Are you
We'd love to hear.
Revealing?
I can, if you'd like.
It's your choice. Sometimes he likes to reveal, and sometimes he keeps it a dirty secret.
It depends on how much he's
sometimes,
drinking.
Sometimes I know exactly what's happening. I know exactly what's happening next month, so we might as well. So next month is May.
Yes.
And
Home
it is
to Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. So we're doing another, just like we did last year. Mm-hmm. We did Samson versus the Aztec women.
Vampire women.
Right. That's Aztec Women is another movie.
Jesus.
I like that they keep the same title.
Crystal clear. Next month, we are doing another Mexican monster movie. I don't remember the year, but it's called Ship of Monsters.
Ooh. Okay.
It is on the YouTubes, so if you want to watch it in advance to this episode, you can.
Excellent.
That always makes it easy. It is in Spanish, so you're going to have to sit through some subtitles, but I've seen this movie. It's a hoot.
Is it bueno?
It is muy bueno. Muchos monstruos. I think I said that right. I don't know how. But anyway, we'll be tasting some Mexican style beers, and
which are Belgian style beers. German style beers.
Yeah, there's a whole German immigrant.
Yes.
During Prohibition, anyway.
Right. We can talk about.
We'll definitely get into that, because that is a fascinating piece of history. So, next month, yeah, Ship of Monsters. It's on the YouTubes, and
watch it and play along.
It's fun. Yes, watch it and play along. So make sure to join us next month for our Cinco de Mayo episode, Ship of Monsters. And until then.
Show enough.
I'm drunk.
I'm drunk.
I am not actually drunk, but I am, for some reason, really disoriented.